Good morning. Today is Friday, May the 14th. Joining us this morning is Humble Bay Fire Chief and musician Sean Robertson. No, keep doing it, man. A little background noise is always good.
Good morning.
It's more fun than some of the fan noises that we, not fan club, but computer fans.
Yes, cooling fans.
There you go.
Cooling is good.
Yeah. Yeah, versus heat, right?
Yeah, I'm a fan.
You're kind of an anti-heat guy.
I'm a fan of cooling.
There you go. All right, you ready for your question here?
Sure.
Oh, this one might, well, it's an awfully long response. Okay. So we'll save that one for somebody more boring, less boring. Oh. Why do people, when people spill salt, why do they throw a few grains over their left shoulder?
I don't know the original derivation, besides it being a superstition. I'm going to say it's based on scarcity or something.
All right. Since salt purifies and preserves, it was considered holy in many cultures of the past. It was used in sacrifices and other religious rites and still used today in Catholic baptismal rituals, which I do. To upset a container of salt was believed to be an omen of an approaching evil. To counteract the evil, the spiller of the salt had only one option: toss a few grains of purifying salt into the face of the approaching evil. But why the left shoulder? Evil was always associated with the left. You're not a lefty, are you?
I'm right-handed.
Okay. Yeah. That was one of the reasons why they... Okay. Mm. For instance, the word sinister comes from the Latin word for left. It was believed that the impending evil due to the spilled salt would approach the spiller from behind and from the left, hence the custom of throwing salt over the left shoulder.
Well, that is...
I knew part of that was in there because, you know, they would try to teach kids who were left-handed to be right-handed.
Really?
1700s, 1800s, because of that.
Yeah, interesting.
And then I've been told they found the folly of their ways.
How so?
Ange is left-handed. A little self-preservation in this one, huh?
That's right. Yeah. A little personal attachment.
Yeah. Oh, gee.
Yeah, but yeah, it's always bizarre to know what the history of superstitions is, and that you just blatantly do it, or not blatantly do it.
Just kind of follow.
Yeah,
follow blindly or custom.
You know, what you were taught.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of that stuff is kind of a kick in the pants to find out.
Yeah. So is that related to the old angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other? So were those apportioned the same?
You know,
way?
I wonder if the devil was on the left shoulder. I bet you so.
I don't know. To watch that, isn't that a
Disney? Find a cartoon?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
See if the cartoonist really understood what was going
Donald
on.
Donald Duck.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, remember when you used to try to prepare for this show?
No, I don't.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It has been some time. Well, we're hearing all kinds of interesting stuff about fire season already. Droughts, what, in the Sierras?
Yes.
Snowpacks not being there, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Is it any different than last year? Is this kind of second chapter, same book?
It feels like it. Some of it's, it seems, feels like we're in the same place, but we're already getting fires popping up. It seemed like the winter was just here, less wet. We hit our normals for 2 months, I think, but, you know, we usually have a 6 month winter and we had a 2 month winter.
Right, right. I mean,
it didn't snow, so, you know, that's got to be an indicator.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly, it's, you know, for some of us, though, it was like an amazing winter.
Yes.
For you guys, it might be an amazing summer, huh?
It may be, hopefully not as amazing as last year.
Right. Now, the state was spending, or at least saying that they were going to be spending, a lot of money on some fire prevention steps.
Right.
Clearing things off from the sides of the road, clearing out some of the underbrush, maybe knocking down some of the old dead trees. Have you heard that that's being done, has been done? Is it planned on being done? What's the status of that?
I haven't heard anything specific recently. I actually have a county OES meeting today where we should get an update on that. But, yeah, they were planned to do a lot of the fuel mitigation. They were throwing millions of dollars at it. I don't know what the outcome is. For me, it's anecdotal. When I have traveled in the state recently, it's only in the North State. And, I've seen some thinning, but it doesn't seem out of the ordinary.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a dramatic change.
Right.
So maybe the resources were down south.
Yeah, and then is it, on Forest Service land? Is it BLM? What is it on? Is SRA being dealt with that way? I don't know.
Well, I would like to think that the state money was going to state property.
You would hope so.
Yeah.
But there's going to be cooperating agreements to mitigate those things.
Right.
I don't have a very accurate answer for your question.
When you guys have your meetings, do you have folks from the Six Rivers, the National Forest folks, the federal folks?
Sometimes.
They participate?
Yep.
Okay. So
we haven't had a meeting in over a year, just with COVID.
Oh, you're having a meeting?
No, it's still Zoom.
Oh, well.
We even haven't had one of those. With the county EOC, having been in operation for a year, it just didn't.
Are you hearing any whispers it's going to get shut down?
Just a planned shutdown that was, I think, last month. I haven't really paid attention to the daily reports for a few days.
Oh, novelty has worn off?
In some respects, yes. Yes.
What a shocker.
Yeah.
I would think that there's a little bit of fatigue going on, but on the flip side, I would also think that a lot of the folks on the department now, that the routineness is there and they don't think about doing some of these extra measures that might have made sense to do in years gone by.
Yeah, it's definitely, we've had to adjust one way and now we're going to have to adjust back in some ways.
Will you? Or will you kind of stay where you are?
It'll be a blend. There are some things we probably won't do that we used to do.
But like the front door will be open?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Progress.
Those basic things, yeah.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson. Sean, so with the fire season imminent, I guess that would be a fancy word of saying coming up quick.
Yeah.
How do you prep for that? You guys really aren't a wildland fire, but you do have places in the district where it kind of looks woodish, old
yeah.
Arcata Road.
Yeah.
Out and cutting fresh water. I mean, there are some places that it may not be wilderness, but you got a lot of trees, a lot of grass, and things like that where you guys do have to respond.
Right.
Can you practice this stuff, or do you just kind of P's and Q's and let's get ready?
It's more just the general readiness. We've talked before about training, how we have annual training. Modules, if you like. So it's always going to be the same basic thing. So wildland firefighting is one of those. We always kind of do that in May. The state mutual aid response system, or actually the federal mutual aid response system, requires certification. It's called a red card system. So it established a basic set of training requirements for you to work on those bigger incidents. And so we basically do the training that is mandated through that program. And it's just good refresher training.
I figure the basics are probably still similar.
Yeah, so for us, it's, you know, deploying your fire shelter, because that's a very unused skill, hopefully.
Right.
But still,
if you're having to do that in downtown, we got issues that are a little bit more significant.
Yeah, so all of those skills that are, you know, more built for the bigger wildland arena translate to local. And then on the local level, we're just working with, you know, CAL FIRE and other mutual aid partners. We do driving through our jurisdiction to kind of, you know, evaluate those hazards all the time.
Scoping it out. Yeah,
yeah, and then we get our specialty equipment, the water tender and the wildland type through engine, just, you know, ready to go and make sure all of that's ready. So all of those things.
Air in the tires, the whole nine yards.
Well, a little bit more specific than that, because it's not just maintenance. It's just, you know, we're putting new radios, for example. And in last year, when it was in service for so long, certain things were needed, or they got worn out. So it's just taking care of those things. But that's a general preparation that we do.
You mentioned the communications, and I would suspect that that's one of the biggest challenges.
Yes.
If somebody runs out of a hose or something, okay, there's another truck that's got one of those things.
Right.
But if you're either out of communications or you're not able to clearly communicate, that's a whole different level of challenge.
Yes.
Is everybody on using the same language now, the same jargons? I know that was a big push a number of years ago, but does the state use the same referencing as the fire district, the same as the volunteers, same as the feds?
Yes. So we all have to use the same language. It's called clear text, so no more 10 codes is one part of it. And then we base on the state and then the federal level on the ICS system, incident management system, or incident command system. And that, in California, we have a specific field operations guide, and that kind of provides some basic terminology to use. And then there's a federal one as well, just a little guidebook. And then everybody gets that training as part of that refresher training. Every year is radio communications as well.
The refresher training, is that part of what allows the mutual aid for you and other departments to be able to send folks to help out?
Yes.
In some of these situations? And if that didn't exist, you couldn't help?
That ability is there. Like I said, you get a red card. So it just has a list of what your current assignment is, what your qualifications are.
The individual?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then the assumption is through the – we have two agreements, one with the state and one with the local CAL FIRE range unit that kind of delineates what the expectation is. So it is, you have to have this training. You have to have this ability to communicate. Because essentially it's a mutual aid agreement, so you're saying I can come to your aid, and we're saying, well, this is what you need to do that, and then it's reciprocated.
The grassland fires are probably the ones that are the closest that you guys will run into on a routine basis, you know, either out on the spit or in some of the farmlands and things of that nature. Does that react the same as a wildland fire, or is it different because you really don't have the tree factor? But you've got the grasses that can kind of go a little bit quicker.
We don't really see a lot of those here. I mean, the Samoa Dunes is maybe the one place, and that's another unique hazard. I think in the central...
Because of the sand?
No, because of the grass, but the dunes themselves and the lack of access to get out there.
You find out who's in shape real quick,
have,
huh?
Yeah, or we don't have lightweight, you know, four-wheel drive vehicles to go dune hopping. You basically have to hump the hose all the way out there. So we definitely see it there. We also see it further south. And it's very different. Those fires move much quicker. That's where you sometimes will get more burnovers because people aren't used to how quickly that can happen.
Yeah, you get a nice little 15 to 20 mile an hour breeze blowing too.
Yeah, and it could, you know, if the wind changes because you aren't familiar with the afternoon conditions there and you're not ready, it changes very, very quickly.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it can be pretty terrifying if you're not used to it.
Yeah, at least there's not as much fuel there, so that is limited somewhat.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop, actually drooling over a menu. Sean Robertson is on board this morning. Yeah, house salad, that's it.
Okay, house salad.
Yeah. Oh, Fireman's Memorial. Heard a little bit about that a year and a half ago.
Yes.
Was it 2 years ago the spaghetti feed was?
I believe, yes. It was two years ago in the summer.
Yeah. Boy, does that seem like either a minute ago or like forever ago.
Yeah, a bit of both, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, lots of folks in the Wharfinger, eating, yeah, having great times.
That's good.
Fun, shaking hands, hugging, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, some time ago. How's it coming along?
Really well. A couple of breakthroughs this week. The final bronze casting was delivered to Station 1 by the artist. It looks amazing. I would definitely encourage folks to check it out on our Facebook page or Instagram.
Oh, you don't have it in the front window?
It is right by the front door, so you could, if you wanted to come and stare.
Put a little spotlight down on it, yeah, for a little bit. Yeah,
it looks fantastic. We have the flagpole, so we're apparently about $2,000 short of the final amount we need to install it. But the mason is supposed to be looking at the site next week. And the dedication ceremony will be June 12th, the time to be announced. But, yeah, it's going to be an amazing.
So you're 2,000 short of the target goal for the whole project?
That's my understanding, yes.
I bet you there's a way we can help you out on that one.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really amazing
You're going to stick around memorial for a couple minutes after the show.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just going to, you know, make that space to just really enhance it and, you know, give people another reason to go down there and just understand our history a bit more.
Know the history a little bit, some of the, yeah, you know, the hotels and some of the buildings that,
right,
used to be there, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I think, as much as anything, cleaning up a corner that's really been
neglected,
I guess, using the old term, blight. Mm. You know, it just, it's not been one of the more pleasant corners in Eureka or in Old Town for a long time.
Yeah.
And now it will be.
Yeah, it'll have a different use for sure.
You're going to have sprinklers there too?
No sprinklers.
No water? It's a fire and there's no water?
Oh.
How can you not have water?
Well, as you're
back
saying
to the
that,
drawing board, huh?
No, I may be wrong. I think there is a water feature as part of it, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. But no sprinklers. Be more like a fountain.
Okay.
Replenishing.
I see.
Yeah.
Rather than just having another sprinkler system, you guys get a chance to inspect and monitor and...
Sure.
You didn't really pick up on that double entendre there, did you?
I did. But
did you? Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little too literal to, you know, sometimes go down those rabbit holes.
Or tired.
Yeah. But it's going to be lighted, so, you know, the flags will fly, and, yeah, it'll be great.
So it's going to have the U.S. flag. Does the fire department or fire service or fire protection, is there a separate flag for firemen? Like a national flag kind of thing?
I don't think so.
I never thought of that.
It's more proprietary for departments. I know the National Fire Academy flies it. We'll sometimes fly the Fallen Firefighters Foundation's.
Oh, that'd be a cool one.
Yeah.
How many flags are you going to have? Just the American flag? Are you going to have the state and city?
I would be speculating. I don't know that. I will find out from Captain Dave Terry.
I see. He's the point on it, huh?
Oh, yeah. He initiated the project. He developed, he researched the history. He contacted all the families. It's just an incredible, incredible project.
How much of that information is going to be there as part of the memorial?
My understanding is each firefighter who died in the line of duties will have a plaque, and those are actually with the bronze casting now. I'm not sure if there's just an informational plaque that, you know, just ties that location with the history of why the memorial is important.
Yeah, well, the why this location.
Do know that there will be a subsequent related display in the Clock Museum, and that already is there. You folks can go there and just learn a bit about the history from there. But once the memorial is in place, that'll be much more of a connected feature.
It's going to be more than what the cops have at the. Sorry. Let's start the battle yet again. What the cops have up at the old police station on the corner, was it 3rd and G?
No.
The rock with the little
their memorial
up all around it.
Is at the current police station.
Right.
6 and 6.
The others are just more of a landmark.
It has the names of the fallen officers there.
Yeah.
We actually had a small ceremony there yesterday in memorial of them. And, you know, it doesn't have a costing, but it's still a marble memorial for them.
Yeah, that's if you don't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, this job is a huge commitment and requires a lot of sacrifice. And when people make the ultimate sacrifice in it, we should memorialize them and acknowledge that.
So as you look in the future for the memorial, is there anything that you is there opportunity to add to it? I mean, not more plaques. That's not
right.
Going that direction. But just in general, is there a way to aggrandize it or to enhance it? Or is this pretty much going to build it out and that'll be that's the vision?
I believe for now that's the vision. That's the concept. Is there a way to develop it off to that? It's dependent on the space. I mean, it's designed to be modular, so if we need to move it, we can.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be a pain.
It would be a pain, but that was part of the plan. I believe it's still part of the plan. So
perhaps if it had to be a larger site because there was so much historical information to be shared, that would be a good reason.
That would be a good reason, yeah.
Part and parcel of this, Sean, are there any efforts to either get the J Street station? I know you have numbers. The J Street, the old fire station.
Right.
Or the one out here on Myrtle. Anything to be done with those or to make them more interactive other than the one open house day a year?
There's no real plan. There's definitely a desire to do that, especially the J Street Station 6. It needs a lot of work. It has a lot of incredible history in it. And for sure, we'd like to develop that space. And there is a great nonprofit, Friends of the Sequoia 6, that have done a lot of work on that. And through the last year, that was well interrupted. So we're hoping to reengage in that.
Yeah, you can't have too many barbecues if you can't get together.
That's right.
I think that'd be, I've talked to Kent a little bit about that also. Just block J Street.
Yeah.
For an afternoon.
Yeah.
And just roll the stuff out, let the neighborhood celebrate, let the historical, those with historical interest or the community pop in, see some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Raise a couple bucks and then roll everything back inside the garage and call it a good day.
I'm sure many people live on that neighborhood and are pretty unaware of its relevance.
Yeah, you just see an old wooden building.
Yeah, yeah.
That every once in a while has a flag on it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, some of that stuff. Well, that would, same with the memorial. I mean, you start to lose it if you don't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
KINS, there's no cable car in there, right?
Not that I'm aware of, no cable car.
Well, there was the cable car line did go by there.
Really?
Things you learn listening to this show are stunning.
Stunning.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson from Humboldt Bay Fire. So the memorial that's available, you said it's going to be dedicated in early June?
June 12th.
Will it be completed by then?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so it just kind of kicks off summertime a little bit.
Yes, that's a great way to look at it.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. And it's time to the display across the street.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that you kind of go, wow, with the memorial?
Oh, man. Well, just the costing is, it's incredible to see the detail in it. And yeah, it's amazing.
Working with guys that know what they're doing is sometimes quite interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Leave that one there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he give any support, or were they the landlords that permitted that property to be accessed?
They gave a lot of support with preparing the site. They cleared it. You know, they were really great with the permits required and just planning it out and making the connections with what needed to be done to install the memorial itself. So they've been great partners to work with.
Nice to know that everybody's kind of working together.
Yeah, I think that's our relationship now. Okay.
So now the question is, do the guys across the street help you out too? You know, I'm trying to bring back that old rivalry. You know, maybe it'll end up in a softball game or something.
Maybe at some point we can do that again. Yeah, we used to have that with the Coast Guard every year. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, okay. Bob and weave, I got it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they donated anything specifically, but yeah, I mean, they're always supportive.
Everybody's all together, and yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm sure your guys' website has got something there, so if people want to donate, they're able to go to the Humboldt Bay Fire website.
Yes, there's a link on our site. And like I said, if you visit Humboldt Bay Fire's Facebook page or the memorial itself's Facebook page, you can get more information on it.
Many ways to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you probably drop by a check too, huh?
You can do that.
Yeah.
We will take those.
Yeah. That old person-to-person thing.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Thank you. Yeah. It's exciting.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
We've been talking shop with Sean Robertson. Join us tomorrow morning. We've got shopping show tomorrow, and we've got talk shop on Monday. Have a safe day.